All right, let's go into the Word of God this morning. We're looking at the power and glory this month. And then this morning I'll talk about something I call Be Confidential. Be Confidential. Be Confidential. Psalm 63, I'll read from verse 1 to 3. Psalm 63, from verse 1 to 3. The Bible says, O God, you are my God. Early will I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh longs for you in a dry and thirsty land where there is no water. 2. So I look for you in the sanctuary to see your power and your glory. Because your loving kindness is better than life. My lips shall praise you. Is that somebody's testimony? Say it loud. Say, my lips shall praise you. Now, if you, no matter how old you are in the things of God, you have heard us talk about glory a lot. And glory is one word that is pretty hard to define. Glory, depending on how you use it, can mean different things. Glory suggests a lot of things in the realm of God. And if there is anything you need to understand, is that there is glory and God wants that glory to be made manifest. God in himself, if you want to really, really describe how God looks, you have to end up somewhere around glory. If you want to even describe where God lives, somehow you have to end up around glory. You remember that the Bible says he dwells in Shekinah glory. You know, so there is a thing about glory that is serious. There is something about glory that is massive. And the psalmist in this scripture we are seeing this morning, he said, I am looking for God. I am searching for God. I am in pursuit of God. And there are some rewards for that pursuit. There are some rewards for that search. Among the reward is that I will see the power of God. I will see the glory of God. And let me tell you the truth. The power of God is still available even in the now. The power of God did not end with the days of the Bible. The power of God is available. And the power of God is not even only available, it's available to everybody. So the psalmist says, I want to see your glory. I want to experience your glory. So from that statement already, we already see that glory is something that can be shared. Glory is something that can be experienced. You see, the truth of the matter is that what man actually lost in Eden was glory. It was glory. Look at the scriptures in Romans chapter 3. Romans 3 and verse 23. Romans 3, 23. It says, for all have sinned, and what happened because of sin, they came down from glory. They were living in glory and they came beneath glory. So apparently, when the Bible said man was naked, man was, the glory cover was removed. Because you will see that in Bible, if you follow Bible story and Bible history, you will see that many things repeat themselves in very subtle way. For example, the taking of the garment or the giving of the garment by the father of Jacob to Joseph was a type of glory. It was a type of beauty placed on the person, and that beauty was stripped. So when the Bible said man had sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, that means beauty was stripped from man. Glory was taken from man when sin happened. So the mission of Jesus when Jesus came to this earth was to now restore that glory. The Bible speaking in John chapter 1. John chapter 1, if you study him from verse 12, the Bible says that to as many as believed him, to them he gave power to become the sons of God. Those that believe on his name. Move on. Move on, verse 13. We were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Verse 14. It says, and the word became flesh and dwelt among us. And what did we do? We beheld his glory. God is now beginning to bring us back to glory because we lost glory. Romans 3:23. Now God is taking us back to glory. So when Jesus showed up as a glory carrier to be a glory transporter and a glory transmitter, so that as many as receive Jesus eventually will now be partakers of the glory of God. So the glory of God is something he wants to share with you. You know, sometimes erroneously, people usually say God does not want to share his glory. No man should share the glory of God. It's not in that light. If the glory of God means accolade due to God, if the glory of God means adulation, worship of God, the person that deserves the right to take praise for actions, yes, you give it to God. But if it is glory, the beauty of God, no, he wants to give it to you. He wants you to be partakers of it. Most people, the reason they came up with that statement of God does not want you to share his glory is a statement in this in Isaiah chapter 42. Let's look at it. Isaiah chapter 42, verse 8. Isaiah chapter 42, verse 8. The Bible says, God, he says, I am the Lord. That is my name. My glory I will not give to another. Just watch it. My glory I won't give to another, nor my praise to carved image. Who does he not want to give? Who is the another in that statement? It's not you. The another is carved image. The another is idols. So when it comes to glory, as a child of God, God wants you to experience glory. In fact, in 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 3, if you read 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 3, the Bible says we are partakers of his divine nature. We are partakers of the things that he carry. Look at that. He says, as his divine power has given us all things that pertains to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who has called us to what? To glory and virtue. So when he says he wants us to be divine partakers, what he wants us to partake in is glory. God wants you to experience glory. Some people think that it is when they die that they will inherit glory. Let me tell you, if you don't have glory here, you won't have glory then. It takes people that have glory now, have received Jesus, that will have glory later. So glory is a commodity that God wants you to experience. God wants me to experience. And so glory is something that God really wants to bring on you. And there are many ways you can look at glory. One of the ways you can define, you can begin to get close to the definition of glory is to use the word beauty. As put in Psalm 90 verse 17. Psalm 90 verse 17. The Bible says, let the beauty of the Lord God be upon us. Can I speak that over somebody this morning? Let the beauty of the Lord God be upon you. Let the glory of God shine upon you in this season and beyond, in the name of Jesus. It says, let the beauty of the Lord God be upon us. And because of that beauty, it will establish the work of your hands. Let me pray that prayer again over you again. Let the beauty of the Lord God be upon you. It says, let the beauty of the Lord God, our Lord, be upon us and establish the works of our hands. How? Establish the world. So when the beauty of God is upon a man, when the glory of God is upon a man, it will establish his works. That is why Joseph can be in Egypt, in a foreign land. I mean, if you look at the complications of Joseph in Egypt, it's a lot. One of the complications is he's going to look differently. He's going to speak differently. He would have had another language with his father. And now he's in Egypt. He has everything that is supposed to be against him. He's a minority or nobody looks like him. But how would that kind of man now show up in a strange place and do well? The glory of God. The beauty of God. When the beauty of God comes upon a man, it will now establish the work of his hand. People will not be able to deny the fact that something is on you. Let me tell you, when something is on you, it can command and control what is around you. When something is on you, it can make people that are around you to begin to notice you. You don't have to pray. You don't have to pray in their presence. You don't have to do anything in their presence. But they will not be able to despise and dispute the fact that it is something upon you. I pray for you one more time. Let the beauty of the Lord God be upon you. He says, when that beauty of God is upon us, it will establish the work of our hand. It will establish, that it should establish the work of our hands. So glory is a commodity. Glory is something God wants us to experience. And if there was anybody that embodied glory, not just in terms of the fact that he was the carrier, but even that he lived it here on earth, it was Jesus Christ himself. Now, one of the ways Jesus brought glory out in his everyday life is what I want us to look at for the rest of this month, in the month of November. How was glory typified in the life of Jesus? If you read Matthew chapter 6, I've read Matthew chapter 6 now for, I think, 1 month. I was always reading it every Sunday. Matthew chapter 6. And if you start reading from verse 9, that is the story of what we call the Lord's Prayer. Now, that story of Matthew chapter 6, or that account in Matthew chapter 6, by the time Jesus was ending that model prayer in verse 13, he said, "Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one." Then he now concludes like this. He says, "Yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever." So that means that the summary of this whole expose of teaching them how to pray was to let them be able to enforce the kingdom, enjoy the power, and live in the glory. So I put it to you this morning that one of the routes that Jesus enjoyed glory while he was here on earth was prayer. And that's what we want to look at in the next few weeks, and look at some aspects of the life of Jesus and the prayer that he had. Why did the prayer life of Jesus command glory? Why was it so effective? One of the reasons was the prayer life of Jesus was a confidential one. By confidential simply means private, simply means secret, simply means not known by too many people. So that means that from the life of Jesus, we see that the power of his public appearance was propelled and, you know, worked from the private practices that he had. So that means that in the life of Jesus, more was happening than people were seeing. More was happening in the background than in the foreground. So Jesus knew how to bring power from a place called the secret place. He was a very confidential person. He was a very private person. Yes, he lived a public life, but he knew how to be private. He knew how to maintain a closet life. He knew how to have a prayer life, a secret prayer life. And let me tell you, one of the biggest secrets to prayer is still praying in secret. I know that many times many people want to come into spaces, into open spaces like this, and pray and be very loud. There's nothing wrong about that. But if that's all the prayer that you do, you don't know the power of prayer. The power of prayer has a big part of it in the secret place. I've seen men of prayer in my lifetime. I have lived with some of them. I have acquaintances with many of them. But many of them, the biggest prayers they pray, they don't pray it in public. Some of you know our general overseer. His preaching is short. His prayers are even shorter. And if you use those two things to judge, you will be very mistaken. Those are the shortest things about his prayer life. The prayers he prays in public is nothing compared to the prayers he prays in private. Now, if you read the story of Jesus Christ in Matthew chapter 6, and you read the model prayer, Father who art in heaven, you say that model prayer in less than 2 minutes. If you think that's all the prayer Jesus was praying, you are mistaken, you know. You are mistaken. That's not it. Look at scriptures like this. Matthew chapter 14. The confidential prayer life of Jesus. The Bible speaking in verse 23, Matthew 14, 23. It says, "When he had sent the multitude away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone." After the public appearance, he went back to the real business. He went back to the private business. Because I have just found out that really the real work is done in the homework. The real work is done when people are not seeing. The real work is usually not in the open. Any public manifestation that you see anywhere is usually powered by private practices. If you take sports, for example, you will see soccer player do some hat tricks, you know, and you think that, wow, that was just a very lucky move. You go and lucky that move. You will not discover that it doesn't just work like that. You know, many of these guys train constantly. They do a lot of that before they make that one move. So that means that there is something about private practice that powers public appearance. So in the life of Jesus, we see all of the time. If you read again, Matthew chapter 26, verse 36. Matthew chapter 26, verse 36. This is him in Gethsemane. The Bible says, then Jesus comes to a place called Gethsemane and says to his disciples, sit here while I go and pray over there. Sit here. I'm going to pray over there. And in that account, we saw that he kept coming back. He found out they were sleeping. And he was telling that, can you not watch me with me for what? So that means his prayer points last for 1 hour. Amen to Jesus. Sometimes some of you come into some prayer meetings and they just pray one prayer. And you're like, ah, where's the next prayer? One prayer can last 1 hour. One prayer can even last all the night. Yeah, because really, when the first time, when second, when third, all those kind of prayers. He did it 3 times. So, and he was praying the same thing. So imagine him praying the same thing for 3 hours. Some people think, when I go to the place, when I say, Father, thou art the mighty one of Israel, that will last me just 2 minutes. No, by the power of the Holy Spirit, it can last longer than that. You know, you can tarry in that space. Oh, why should I stay for that long? Does God not answer prayer? Does God not even know before we answer, but before we call? He does. But will Jesus not even know that God answers prayers and God answers short prayer? After all, he used to be a former occupant of heaven, at least before he came here. And he didn't have amnesia. Of course, he was not doing his life in the flesh as the Son of God, but he knew where he came from. If you read John 17, he said, excuse me, Father, the glory that I left behind, I'm coming back for you too. I'm coming back. You know, so he knew that he left something behind. In fact, Philippians chapter 2 told us, he says, that he did not think it robbery to be equal with God. So he knew who he was. So how will that person that has that kind of knowledge still be spending all night in prayer? Because there is something about prayer that is much more than getting things. It's becoming things. There is something about prayer. There is something about hanging out with God that is not about what you get. It's who you become. In fact, if there is nothing you know about prayer, you need to know that. Prayer is not about I get. Prayer is not about I receive. Prayer is much more I become. There is something when you wait with God, you, like Moses, like David said in the scripture we started with, it says, early will I seek you. My soul is thirsting for you. He said, because I want to see your glory and your power. Because I know that the more I seek you, I just become one with that dimension that I'm seeking from you. There is something about pressing into God that makes you become. All right? And so, in the life of Jesus, we will conclusively that he was a confidential person. He knew how to make power happen in the place of prayer. Let me give you some ideas and some things that can help you to be like Jesus and be confidential and experience power and glory on your own, by yourself, in your prayer life. How was Jesus able to do so much in his prayer life, especially when he was not with people? I believe the first thing we see in the life of Jesus, like when we read in that Matthew chapter 14, verse 23, is that Jesus knew how to deal with distractions. When it comes to prayer, private prayer, having power, you need to know how to deal with distractions. 2023, there's a lot of distractions. There's a lot of distractions. One of the things I even wrote down for myself in that prayer that we were praying yesterday, that focus more in the place of prayer. Because, especially when it comes to praying in the spirit, many of us that pray in the spirit, sometimes, you know, we are deceiving ourselves that we are praying when we say we are. Because you are doing other things. You are praying in the spirit, you are on Netflix. And I'm not saying you can't pray under your breath, but if that's all your prayer, then there's a question mark there. There's too many distractions. You are praying and you are cooking. Or praying and getting ready for work. I know. Our pastor is because there's no time. I know. But if all your prayer always has distraction, there will be no power in it. There is something about prayer. There is something about hanging out with God that rubs off on you. But if you are all over the place, you will not maximize it. I can tell you most of the time that I've gotten the best from prayer is not just because I prayed. It's because I prayed with a single focus. I was not distracted. So much so that by the time I finish that experience with God, I'm more revived than when I started. Some people testified yesterday. Yes, they were. I mean, people were standing here literally for like, some people stood 9 hours, like standing, not that they showed up, standing on their feet. How does those kind of things happen? Some of you, if they told you, stand, even in service sometimes, this is our worship team and everything, it's like 1 hour we've been standing. Oh. How did you stand like that yesterday? Because many people were focusing, many people were looking at him, and he supplied strength. Remember scripture speaking in Psalm 84. He said, they go from strength to strength, every one of them that appear before God in Zion. So when it comes to prayer, for having the bite you want prayer to have, you have to deal with distraction. Distractions can be physical, it can be otherwise. And any distraction is also known as another thing that will steal glory from God and from you. It is called an idol. An idol. Look at this scripture. 1 John chapter 5, verse 21. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 21. The Bible says, little children, keep yourself from idols. What is an idol? An idol is something that wants to take the place of God or has taken the place of God. By that definition alone, to some people, Facebook is an idol. I like as that thing dropped. It's a drop mic moment. By that, just Instagram is an idol. I've deleted TikTok before my phone. I delete it over and over, you know. Because sometimes these things are idols. How do you know something is an idol? Look at the frequency of use, your frequency with that thing, the preoccupation that you have, how that thing has mastered you, how that thing has taken over you, how that thing controls you. The job of an idol is to control you, and that's the job of God. Remember that as many as are led by what? The Spirit of God, they are what? So if they are led by something else, are they not the sons of that thing? If they are led by the phone. Do you know that sometimes when we are saying, we bind the spirit in this place, that spirit should be phone. We just bind the spirit. Because there are many houses, there are many relationships. People will be physically like this together, and everybody will be like this. Because of wealth, many homes now, children don't talk to parents again. They're talking to some digital things. And those things are reducing attention span, messing up social relationships. These guys can't deal with people again. Small thing. Some things that they need to just be so... Emotional intelligence is not being formed. Why? Because of digital intelligence. Every idol has one duty. To be worshipped. They want to be worshipped like God. Remember that when devil came to Jesus, he told Jesus, he said, bow before me. That's what idols do. But they won't use those words. They will just say, in the morning, make sure I'm the first thing you see. Even when you say you want to relax, make sure that in your relaxing, you are touching me. Some of you, if you look at your Facebook, you see how many hours you spend with it. Some people say, we spent a long of time in church. Church, how many minutes did you spend in church? Go and check your Facebook time. Some of us, we even put time out on some of these things, like Instagram and all of that. And we'll just be there about 2 minutes, and the team will now say, 30 minutes has elapsed. I'm like, 30 minutes now. If it is prayer, I'll be looking at the time. And the time will not be climbing. But if it is Instagram, I've just only seen that person's page, Joe. Only one profile. Okay, let me do another profile. And then you do another profile. Time you now check, you find out you've done 2 hours. John has an advice for us this morning. He said, little children, keep yourself from idols. If your private, confidential prayer life is going to have power, it's going to experience power, you have to keep yourself from idols. Sometimes put your phone away. Sometimes use physical Bible. Can somebody say amen? Amen. We are looking at 2024. If I can advise you now from 2023, go and think about a physical Bible.
Sometimes I read physical Bible because you see, the notification will just come and it will be very noteworthy notification. It can even come from a man of God. The glory, and me, I'm thinking about glory. I want to talk about glory. So the glory and the kingdom. What did he say about that? If I even help me, this my, then you go there. The next time you remember, you have spent 2 hours there. Distractions. If we can take our eyes, because you see, if you keep your eyes on him, you will look like him. You will experience his glory. If he can divert you or distract you a little bit, he will steal away from you. The devil knows that. The devil knows that if we look at Jesus, we will look like Jesus. Remember the Bible speaking in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 2. It says, looking unto Jesus, who is the author and finisher of our faith. And the reason he was telling us to look at Jesus was that if we look at him, we'll be able to start and we'll be able to finish. But the Bible now tells us that the way we are looking at him, we should learn something from him. And learn that one of the things he did was he knew how to focus. The Bible said, who for the joy that was set before him, he kept a focus on something that made sure that he was not distracted. That was why he was able to fulfill his mandate. Let me tell you the truth. If we don't deal with distraction, distractions will deal with us. So God this morning is saying, look, when we're talking about being confidential, it is time when our time with God has to be without distraction. So for prayer to be effective, you have to deal with idols. I don't know what idols God is telling you about this morning, but all of us have idols. There are idols we have. Some of us, it can even be human beings. That's your friend. You know, recently I even found out that WhatsApp was just taking all of my time. Like, what? WhatsApp? Somebody is sending me a message that I can read whenever I want to read. Is that? No. Some people emails. They refresh their email every time, everywhere. I don't know if something important. When you were sleeping to something, but that was happening, but you slept. That's how you should look. You need to know how to prioritize. There is nobody that becomes anybody who doesn't know how to prioritize. You need to prioritize God in your prayer life. Deal with distractions. That's one of the ways Jesus was able to have a confidential private prayer life. How did Jesus have a confidential prayer life? Mark chapter 1 and verse 35. Jesus had 1:35. Jesus had a routine. And what was the routine? Mark chapter 1 verse 35. Now in the morning, having risen a long while before daylight, he went out and departed to a solitary place, and there he prayed. So what should you do? Plan your time. Let me say, anything that is not scheduled, you may not do it. So the reason why some people don't have confidential private prayer lives, there's no time they were going to pray. I'll just pray when I wake up. I'll just pray when I have time. You will not have the time. I'll just pray when I need to pray. You are going to be living an emergency life. No. You have to have a time. I'm going to wake up 5 o'clock, I will pray. I'm going to wake up 3 o'clock, I will pray. And sometimes, we have even helped you. We have a 6 a.m., we have it 11 p.m. One of them, choose it. And just say, at least, this will be one of my regiments. I will pray the 11 one. I'll pray the 6 a.m. One of them, choose it. It's good. It's good to do that. If you don't have a time, you may not do it. So you must plan your time. In that planning your time, settle the location. Where am I going to pray? Oh, does it matter? Yes, it matters. Because when you do that, it helps you to begin to plan. There was one time in the season of my life, I did it on the road. And by on the road, I meant prayer walk. You know, no matter how cold it was. I'm trying to revive that back now because I think it may be beneficial not only for prayer, but for other things. Amen. It may be bodily exercise. And those days, what I used to do, and I started doing it now, I would know that I'm going to go at so-so time, you know, and I will pack the clothes that I'm going to wear. In fact, then, we were living in a smaller place. I used to put my clothes, and, you know, we didn't have children then. Or did we? But they were not their age now. And I'll put them, so because I will lay out, you know, in Chicago now. And I go out, even when it's snowing, I will go out. Because when you plan, when you do that kind of thing, God, there's another strength and grace that God will supply. Because God is the one that wills in us, is the one that is working in us, both to will and to do. So that means that the way God starts to work is that he works with your plan and he helps your plan. He works with your plan and he helps your plan. So I'm going to wake up at 5 o'clock. I'm going to go work at Soul Step. And I'm going to do it downstairs. I'm going to do it in my car. And did you know why me, I started doing that prayer walk? Sleep. It's not one big rev. It's just sleep. It's just that I noticed that back in the day, if I say I'm praying, whether kneeling or doing other posture, as long as, even sometimes standing posture self, I just find out that the time will change. You know? And it will not be daylight savings. It will not be that somehow slumber has come. I slept some part of it. So when I discovered that this sleep was not helping matters, I would just go out. And I discovered that going out was very good. Because in the first 5 minutes, you still be draggy. 10 minutes, you may be draggy. By the time you are 35, you have hit a cruising altitude in the spirit. You will not be cruise. You will be on another realm. I mean, those are realms. But you have to do some things that make it happen. Some people maybe a car. Some people, but make sure it's not your bed, you know. Because, I don't know. I mean, maybe some people you can work for them. But find a location. Choose a duration. Have time for it. Have time for it. How long is it going to be? I want to pray 1 hour daily. I want to pray 2 hours daily. I want to pray 3 hours daily. That's how it starts. People that pray all night started somehow. I want to be able to pray 10 hours. Join us like yesterday. Some people, you were not doing anything. We know. You were not. Or what you were doing was not that important. You could have shelved it. But you didn't just say, don't we have plans? You do. With the other people that came too, it's not like they were completely planless. And they came. You know? So, plan the duration of it. Plan the duration of it. How was Jesus able, and how can you be able to have a confidential, private prayer life? Deal with distractions. Plan your time. Schedule your time. Schedule location. Schedule duration. Plan the duration. Some of you may need calendar. Some of you, it may be 12 during break times. You can do that. There was a time in my life I used to work in the seminary, and you know, I just, my break times, how, when I'm fasting, I'll just take my break time to be the time I'll listen to the Bible, to be the time that I'll pray, and I'll just leave. You know, my office, and then walk around the building and pray, because I chose that location as my location at that time. What else do you do? You prepare in advance, and this time around, you prepare your heart. You keep preparing your heart. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 1, Proverbs 16 and verse 1, the preparation of the heart. There is something about a heart that is ready. There is something about a heart that is prepared. If you want to receive the best from God, prepare yourself. Prepare to meet your God. Prepare to have an encounter with God. That preparation may look like you are carrying pen, you are carrying something to take notes. Because if you really walk these things that I'm talking about, you start getting ideas that you were not thinking about. You start knowing things that you didn't know before. It will look like your thought. Very soon you will know that it's God. So you need to be prepared for what God wants to do. You need to also get rid of things in your heart. You need to get rid of unforgiveness. Sometimes the reason why your prayer is ineffective is that you want to use it as a complaining session for what the other person did. And the Bible said, when we come into the place of prayer and we remember that we have us against another. Even remember the model prayer of Jesus. He said, you are going to say, forgive us our trespasses as what? We forgive those who trespass against. So that means when I come into the place of prayer, I need to deal with what happened with the other person. I can tell you many stories where, you know, I just have won the argument with my wife, you know, maybe the night before, or even maybe that morning. And then I'll step out to pray. And the Holy Spirit will tell me, it's almost like loudspeaker. Apologize. Some wives are always thanking the Holy Spirit. Because if not for the Holy Spirit, because some men are very, like the sister that I was calling herself coconut head. By the way, you are not coconut head, though. But some guys, some of us are very hard. You know, the other day I was telling my wife, I said, I have hard statement, but I'm not very hard. She said, no, you are both. But you people know that I'm very soft. Amen to Jesus. I got the very, very powerful amen right there. But you prepare your heart. Unforgiveness. Oh, yes. You have to forgive them. Yes, it was painful. You have to forgive. You have to release them. You have to forgive. You prepare your heart. You have to confess the sin. Many people wait until they want to meet. No, you have to deal with anything that will deal with that event of praying, of communicating with God. You have to take it out of the way. You have to remove the hindrance. You have to remove the impurity. You have to make sure that the operating environment is ready for God to do the things that he wants to do. That is what Jesus did. Jesus knew how to prepare himself in advance. Jesus knew how to make sure his heart is in a place. Because, ladies and gentlemen, if there is one platform that we transact with God, it's our heart. God first sees our heart before he hears our words. That's why some people, he says, you people are speaking to me with your lips, but your heart is far away from me. So I can be very loud with my words. Because of my heart will mute what I'm saying. Ladies and gentlemen, the reason why many times prayer seems unanswered is not even the correctness of what the people prayed in prayer. It's the wrongness of the posture of their heart. There is something about that place that God is like, no, you have a wrong motive. Something is wrong here. Let's fix you up. Let's fix this up before we move to the next. How do I have a private prayer life? This last one looks like a contradiction, but it also helps. It helps. I have a private, confidential prayer life when I keep company with those who pray too. When I hang around people who have such lives. When I have a company of people that pray. Because all of us eventually needs company. We need a company of others. What you saw happening yesterday was not only about praying for 10 hours. It was also helping ourselves. It was also spurring ourselves. It was also receiving graces that other people had. Do you know that when we come to church, one of the things that happens when we come to church is called fellowship. And fellowship, another word for fellowship is communion. There is a sharing together. There is something that you carry that I will give you. There's something that you carry that I will get from you. There is something that I carry that you will get. There is something that transfer because of association or coming together. And that's why, without prejudice to online audience, without prejudice to let's watch it from home, there is something about physical gathering. There is something about making connection with people. It's as if something from them comes to you. Can some dimension happen online? Maybe a little bit, but there is something. I don't know why God did that. Maybe that's what Facebook got, that they were able to get all of us, because it's as if there's something with the face. Amen to Jesus. When you can capture the face, and there's one proverb in Africa that says, the real matter is in the face. Amen. I know I said, I didn't say it properly, but somehow there is something about when you see people. Have you noticed that sometimes when you text people, they misunderstand you? When you call them, they understand a little bit, but when you see them, they understand perfectly. There is something about the human face, even the face of God. You know, as I was thinking about glory, one of the dimensions and explanation of glory is the face of God. Remember, Bible speaking in Numbers chapter 6, 23 downward. It says, when you are going to bless the people of God, this is how you are going to put my name upon them. You are going to say, may the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you. I'm praying already. May the Lord make his face to what? Shine upon you. What is that face to shine upon you? May the Lord allow his glory to come upon you. So that means that even the face of God is glory. So there is something about the face of other people too. We are able to experience some level of grace that they carry just because we came into their presence. Was it not in the company of prophets that Saul prophesied? There are some dimensions that you don't know that you carry, but if you come into the right atmosphere, the right place, it begins to incubate that dimension that you carry. So, for example, when Mary met Elizabeth. The Bible said the baby in her leaped. So there are babies in us that need to leap. But we need to find our Elizabeth if we are Mary. There are too many Marys that are isolated. They are not finding their Elizabeth. They are saying, I can do it by myself. This selfie, me alone, I can do it. No, not you alone. Even in the days of Elijah, he was not the only one. Remember, he was saying, I alone. God said, don't even go there. The day there was I alone was in the days of Adam. And after the days of Adam, there is no I alone. There are always other people somewhere. Find them. It's I alone. If you are alone in this church, you always come alone. You go alone. We don't see you. You don't have friend. I don't want to say any more thing. But change your ways. Change your ways. You cannot be alone. There's nothing glamorous about alone. If you want your prayer life in the secret, I know, yes, it's in the secret. Yes, come to where people are praying in the public. Come there. You will learn. You will get, there's a grace that is upon them that will rub off on you. Hanging around them will have something that will be put upon you when you begin to learn how to associate with people. The Bible speaking in Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10 verse 25. Hebrews 10, 25. Quickly give us that. And somebody please get on the keyboard. Hebrews 10, 25. The Bible says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another as so much more as you see the day approaching. So that means that when you see that the end time is here, make sure you give priority to public gatherings. Why? There is something. We exhort one another. There is something. We lift up one another. There is something we get from there. When you hang out with people. I've hung out with friends. I've spoken to friends. And it just lighted my mood. They didn't do anything physical for me. But just that talking. Just that communicating. Just that hanging with them. There is a grace that came on them. So when you want to help your prayer life, find other people that pray. I've been in the company of just hearing people's prayer and I was so edified. I've been in the company of just watching people pray. I have been so edified. I remember several years ago, I joined a group of people that they were, you know, it's a prayer school. I will be hearing people praying like this and I'll be like, what? Is this a human being? I mean, the word self, it will be doing something. I'm like, God, Lord, help me. So it helps. And some of us, sometimes when we come to church, one worship team member takes off the mic and then sonorously begins to pray and say, Father, I give you praise. There's something. I know sometimes if it's a guy looking at a lady, they are thinking something, so many things that she's single, she know. I know sometimes this can happen. But there are other times. What's happening is that you are picking up a signal, you are picking up some strength, you are picking up encouragement, and there is fire coming upon your altar. One light can light up other lights. Some of us grew up in technologies, well, situations where we use candle lights. So if you don't know candle lights, blessed are thee among men. If you know, the only candle light you know is the candle light on cakes. Praise God for your life. But some people knew the mystery of candle light to see in your house. And many times, you don't light another candle by striking the matches. Matchbox, that's also a mystery to some people, you know, matches, there's something like that, to light, you know, you turn on, you, and then you start one, but the other candles, you use one candle to light, let me tell you, many of the graces of God, you will get it from other candles that are already lit, you'll find them, oh, there's a grace on this man of God, then you move closer to them, there is something that being in that atmosphere does to you. It makes you a partaker of that divine nature. Ladies and gentlemen, God is calling us to experience power and glory. But if we are going to do it like Jesus, we have to be confidential people. We have to be men and women who our prayer life is not just public alone. It is private. There's power where you can develop your own personal prayer altar. Every altar that is well prepared, fire will fall. Every altar that is well prepared, you will find God. David said, my heart is seeking for you to see you in a dry and thirsty land. And I will see you. because my heart is seeking for you. He says, early will I do it. That's my own timing. My own timing is early. Some people are light night caller. Your timing might be late, but make sure you are seeking him. Because let me tell you, there are great and mighty things which you don't know yet. That's why Jeremiah gave us this expose in Jeremiah 33 and verse 3. He says, call unto me and I will answer you. I will show you great and mighty things that you could not have figured out if you didn't call unto me. Is somebody ready to call on God? Let me tell you, this 2023 is not gone. There are still things that God will still do this year. There are still miracles that will still drop this year. There are still people listening to me. Their story will change this year. There are still people listening to me. They will carry their evidence this year. If you are one of those people, stand up this morning and receive grace. Go ahead, receive grace. There is grace in this house. I can't say many things that we have in this house, but I can say something to you. If you really are open, there is grace to pray here. There is grace to have confidential prayer life here. We are not just talking about what we read in scripture. These are things that we have handled with our hands. These are things that God over the years has helped us with, and he can help you. Can you, is somebody receiving grace this morning? Go ahead, receive grace. Receive grace. It says, early will I seek you to see your glory and your power. I want to see your glory. There is something I want to see. I want your power to be made known. I don't want your power to remain on the pages of the Bible. I want you to show up at work. I want you to show up in my family. I will not be lazy in the place of prayer. I will take my responsibility. I will stand up. I will show up. In the name of Jesus. If it is morning, I receive grace. If it is evening, I receive grace. Show me where I can meet with you. If I don't have where I can meet with you, show me who I need to forgive. Show me what I need to deal with, so my heart will be ready for you. Prepare me, oh God, for this new phase that you have prepared for me. Is somebody asking God for help? All of us need help in this area. There is no person that has arrived. We are all students in this school. I am also a student, but all of us can graduate into the next level. Will you ask God to also show you a company? There is somebody that is around you, maybe not just in church, or maybe in church, that God can use to encourage you. Ask God for a divine appointment. Amen. Even in this new week, in the name of the Lord, we receive grace, oh God, to the glory of your name. Father, we give you praise. Blessed be your name. Hallelujah. In Jesus' precious name, you get the glory, you get the praise,
you take the honor. I just want to say thank you. You get the glory.
You get the glory.
You get the praise.
You get the praise.
You take the honor.
Oh,
I want to say thank you.
Thank you.
You get the glory.
You get the glory.
You get the praise.
You get the praise.
That prayer brings glory to God. To bring the power of God, prayer does that. There's something about public prayer, but there is the power of public prayer is private prayer. So if you are saying, take the glory with my life, you are also saying, make my life a walking prayer. Prayer can be an action and prayer can be a person. Oh yes. It's not every prayer that is an action that you do. There are prayers that are moving. There are prayers that are walking. I don't just want to be a person that does prayer as an action. I want to pray a prayer myself. Look at the life of Elijah. Summarized. When you look at Elijah in the New Testament, James chapter 5 and verse 17. One very small summary. Elijah was a man subject to like passion. He said, but he prayed. One translation say, in prayer he prayed. That was the life sentence that the New Testament could summarize a man. It was a prayer. Ladies and gentlemen, there are some of us, the way we are living, they will say it's a Facebooker.
Instagrammer. I don't want that. I don't want that. There are bigger things. There are bigger fishes to fry that I will not be on the mundane things. But God has to take glory in this life. Whether the devil likes it or yes, this life will bring honor to God. God will look at this life and derive pleasure and be satisfied and say, I thank God I place Emmanuel there. I thank God I place Nika there. I thank God I place Topper there. Because they became a force. They held the hand of the altar and held the hand of God. They held the hand that moves the world in the place of prayer. In my life,
in
ask God, ask God, let him be glorified in this life. As we behold him, we become changed from glory to glory. Where do we behold him? In his word. We also behold him when we pray. That was why there was an experience at Mount of Transfiguration. The Bible says, as he prayed, his fashion was altered. There was something that affected him because he prayed. When we get into this ministry, it will affect our home. God needs more people to live for him outside of church than inside of church. There are too many of us in church. We need more of us outside there. Monday to Saturday must be influenced by Sunday. And the reason it will be influenced is a changed people. And as he prayed, his fashion was altered. But as he prayed, because he knew how to pray in the secret, God is giving grace in this house this morning. There are men and women. Your prayer altar will jack up. The things you call pastor for, you will no longer do that again. Because it will not be necessary. The things you need to ask other people to be praying for you for, it will not be necessary. Because you now know how to take the run of the altar by yourself. Because in your life, he will be glorified. One of our senior pastor, please come, Pastor Amadu. Can you celebrate God in his life? This is my boss, so in many things, not just in age, but even in the scheme of RCCG, the Redeemed Christian Church of God. But you just see him, just gentle, sits in the back there. Maybe they've been doing ministry before some of us even came into this world. We don't know, you know. But we celebrate God in your life. He came visiting. And he's going back. I thought we should pray for him. But not only pray for him. I thought some of us should shake his hands on his way out. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
I hope you know what that means. Just make his hands wet. Wet with something. Let him take you to the people at home and say, Chicago people say I should give you this. So, okay? So that's one of the ways we have to also glorify Jesus. Glory shows up like that. Amen. Can you go ahead and speak into his life? Father, in the name of Jesus, let it be well with him. His journey is safe. He's going to meet the people in joy. They will also meet him in joy. He has been a blessing, a worthy, wonderful example of the things of God. And we ask, oh God, your hand will be mighty upon him. You will be glorified in Jesus' precious name. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for your son. We thank you for your hand upon him. Thank you for this many months he spent here. Lord, we ask that his journey be blessed. You be glorified. As he goes, let us hear good news from him. Let him hear good news from us. Father, we give you praise. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen to Jesus. Come on, put your hands together for Jesus. Please see him. Oh, see him. Ah, no. That hand is empty. Oh. Ah. Don't see him. Shake him with something. Amen.
And I know he's not leaving today. So if the thing is, you have to carry it, find him. Amen. Don't say, if you had told me 2 weeks ago, I've told you now. Because some people say, if I knew, you now know. And if you talk to me, I can find a way. We'll find it. We'll get it to him. And does he have space in his bag? He does. I can bet you that. Or you can monetize it. So don't excuse yourself from it, because Jesus gets the glory. Don't stop the music. We're about to close the service. Can you hold hands with somebody? All right. Is she here? All right. Can we celebrate before we hold our hands? Shukwa is getting married this Saturday. Come on, put your hands together for Jesus. Amen. There are too many babies, it's many marriages. Amen. So when there is a marriage, there are babies coming. In fact, one of our former church members, I heard she gave birth today, Sophie. Some of you remember her? Yeah. This morning, I got a text. I've not been able to ask whether it's this morning or yesterday. You know. So, I like babies. Wherever it shows up, first do marriage, and then go and do babies. So don't say, because Pastor Eli likes me. Just come and give me one baby. I'll be like, don't give us that kind of baby. Give us baby, marriage first and baby. Where's madam now? She's in Brazil. Okay, sing one more time. In my life, like somebody ready to marry. I'm just thinking that, am I the pastor marrying them now? I just come and say, brethren, we are gathered before thee in the presence of God, and you know. But can you stretch your hands to them? Wedding is a beautiful thing. Marriage should be a more beautiful thing. Ask that God will make the wedding beautiful, the marriage even more beautiful. Ask that God will be glorified in their home. We need more examples of marriages, people who do marriage by God. Ask God to help them to do marriage by Him and be glorified in their lives in the name of Jesus. Ask that this home will be blessed in the name of Jesus. Ask that the negativity from either of their past will not affect their future. Ask that baggages from their father's side, mother's side will not affect their relationship. Ask that God will put a blessing upon them. Ask that God will be glorified in and through their lives in the name of Jesus. Father, we give you praise in Jesus' precious name. Heavenly Father, we are so grateful. This is your doing. Thank you for helping your children to get to this place. And we are grateful for you are even taking them even further than here. In the presence of your people this morning, we decree that their home is blessed. We ask that your hand will be upon this day coming on Saturday and every other day after Saturday in the name of Jesus. Their home will be an example and Jesus will be glorified. Concerning Saturday, every travel, everything concerning that day will go according to plans in Jesus' name. You will take the glory. Father, we give you praise in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Congratulations. Congratulations. Yes, you get the glory.
You get the glory.
Hold
you
hands,
get the praise.
You get the praise.
You take the honor.
You take the honor.
I just want to say
thank you.
You get the glory.
You get the glory.
You get the praise.
You get the praise. You take the honor.
Sing that song forever today. That one, you got it. You got that one. You got it. Look at that person you're holding. Say you are a glory carrier. You drip glory. You carry glory. You emanate glory. This week, everywhere you show up, glory unlimited. The beauty of God is upon you. The works of your hands, they are established in the name of Jesus. Nothing will stop you this week. You will not be frustrated. No bad news. No emergency bad news from anywhere for you this week.
Everyone that is connected to you, God will protect them. God will preserve them. And from those people, only good news. From now till the end of the year, the blood that speaketh better things speaks over you and your household. Nothing is missing. Nothing is broken. Nothing will be lacking. In the name of Jesus. After they sing that song one more time, find 7 people and tell them nothing is missing. Nothing is lacking. In the name of Jesus.
Be glorified. Be glorified.
You get the glory.
You get the glory.
You get the praise.
You get the praise.
You take the honor.
You take the honor.
I want to say
thank you.
You get the glory.
You get the glory.
You get the praise.
You get the praise.
I ain't gonna be on
you take the honor.